College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's a sad morning. It really is, as we say goodbye to Jose Iglesias and the New York Mets. The 2024 New York Mets are officially dead. But in our memories, they will live forever.
I think so, yes.
But all of the gimmicks and all of the fun and all of the, you know, they really were, even though they had a high payroll, and we know why, because Steve Cohen ate a lot of money. They were still a team that felt like an underdog team because they were going through a transition year. They didn't really have a big offseason. It was unexpected, and it was like this gritty sort of group of hodgepodge guys that continued to fight, you know, behind Francisco Lindor and his leadership and his great season. All these guys on one-year deals in the rotation, having career years. Jose Iglesias popping in out of nowhere, OMG, all of that stuff. And now this team and the expectations and the feel around it are completely different. Not meaning that it's a bad thing, because it's not a bad thing. When you have one of the best off seasons in the sport, that's what you want. People flocking to season tickets, wanting to go to games, having Juan Soto there, Pete Alonso coming back. But, you know, the cute little, hey, let's have Grimace and Hock Tua and everything else throw out the first pitch and OMG and let's perform a concert. Those things are done.
You know, I kind of feel like, with the exception of Jose Iglesias, they got everybody else back. I mean, Jesse Winker's back, Stanek's back. Manaea's back. I mean, they brought the entire team back.
Winker, did you say Winker?
I said Winker.
Did you say Winker? Did you say Manaea?
I said Manaea.
They lost Severino.
Yeah, signed some crazy contract with the Athletics.
Yeah, which you're going to be playing in Sacramento. So
in a minor league stadium.
Yeah, and you can't really blame him for taking that cash, you know? Cashed in on that one-year deal.
They couldn't get any money from the city of Oakland or the state of California to build a new stadium. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, but Severino I'm talking about.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about you can't blame Severino for taking the cash.
No, you can't.
After that one-year deal. So, yeah, I mean, they have improved. They've got most people back. So, Iglesias, not back. Severino, not back. But mostly you're bringing back that team that's even better. Even better. McNeil, hopefully healthy, could hit. I really want to see Acuna become the starting second baseman and be a huge part of this team.
Well, Jeff McNeil's in the way of that.
Is he really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but again, you know,
you're telling me Luis Angel Acuna couldn't win that job in spring training?
I think what David Stearns is thinking is that, like every GM should be thinking, that somewhere along the line we're going to be missing some guys for an extended period of time. And this is exactly what he said in regards to Iglesias. It was like, I'm going to end up having to give young guys opportunities. And they will have opportunities, whether they make the team out of spring training or not. Will be determined by their performance, of course. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a lot of injuries. You know that.
And at 6 o'clock, I handed Boomer this OMG sign that is signed by Jose Iglesias that I've been holding on to for many months since Boomer and Geo Live, waiting to give it to Boomer at the right time.
Hey, you stole it out of Big Hurl's office, you said.
So I was waiting to give this to Boomer for many months. I'd been holding on to this. And I figured, you know, when he re-signed, I was going to give it to you. But then when I heard the news yesterday of him not being a Met in 2025, David Stern says, sorry, we're moving on. I said, well, today's the day to give this to Boomer. So I handed it to him at 6:02. He then proceeded to put it onto the ground. Allie, our makeup artist, tripped over it. It fell forward onto the floor where the autograph is, and he left it there. And then when I pointed out that it had been face down on the ground for about an hour, you said, you know, I was thinking about who I can give this to. And at that moment, I said, man, really, the magic of last year truly is gone.
It is.
And we're going to have to make some new magic in 2025.
And you want to know something? There are realistic expectations. When Steve Cohen bought out Scherzer and Verlander, ate all that money, nobody had any expectations last year. So that's why all this stuff grew around this team. Like, you know, it was all these little fungus things that were happening.
Like a positive fungus.
Yeah, like a positive
fungus. Like a
fungus.
Good fungus, like a mushroom that you'd like to eat.
And I felt like we were all on mushrooms at one point last year because of everything that was happening, and we couldn't believe what we were seeing before our eyes and the moments that are so cherished and memorable.
Yes, that is true.
And Jose was one of those cherished memories that we'll always have in the 2024 season.
Yeah, we're never going to forget him. He will be a reference point forever.
Of course. Maybe, and who knows? Maybe he'll be back. You never know. You just never know.
Hey, if they're 11 games under 500 again at some point, you got to go out and get his ass. Bring him back in here, you know?
Maybe he's working on a new song as we speak.
Yeah, I don't know. Does he have any other songs? I don't even know. I should look. I should look if Candelita put out anything new. I feel like he probably should have.
Hey, you don't want to be a one-hit wonder.
That's right. You do not. That's like the worst. Who do you think the biggest one-hit wonder of all time was? Like the biggest song that was a one-hit wonder song, and then that person...
Bye-bye, Miss American.
Don McLean? He never did anything else?
He did Starry, Starry Night, or Vincent as it's known.
Okay.
The biggest one-hit wonder of all time.
We built this city.
No, they had many hits. Starship.
We built this city on rock and
roll. I Googled this.
Bay City Rollers. I don't know.
Macarena.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah,
okay. That's sort of similar. Dancy.
Yes, yeah. for sure. What was the name of that guy?
Los Del Rio.
Los Del Rio. Yeah, Macarena. That is a big one. I don't think he could top that one. Del Rio didn't come out with anything after that.
It's at every wedding, no matter what kind, no matter how much money is spent on the wedding, whether it be, you know, $3 million, $300,000, you're doing the Macarena.
You know what I think is another big one, actually? Speaking of wedding songs, This Is How We Do It, Montel Jordan. That guy never did anything else. He's only known for that. 6'7", came out, did that song. This is how we do it. And he never did anything after that. I'd put that up there.
Yeah, but Al said he Googled.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I Googled.
Doesn't mean that I'm not correct about this. This is up there.
Got this nice long intro.
This is how we do it. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. This is how we do it.
Another one right behind the Macarena is Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, yeah. Baja Men. Speaking of the Mets and gimmicks, huh?
Yes.
That was a big one.
That
2000.
Was a big one for us, yep.
That's how we do it. It's Friday night. I mean, this is another big wedding song, you know?
It is.
Yeah, this guy never did anything after this, right? No way. Montel Jordan? I actually looked this up the other day. The song came on somewhere.
He sounds a little like Babyface.
Babyface? I don't think he sounds like Babyface.
Does it sound like Babyface, Al?
I'm not familiar with Babyface. This guy does have other songs in the 50 million, 90 million plays.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you we never heard him.
His second most popular song.
This is How We Did It?
It's called Get It On Tonight.
Get It On Tonight.
Get It On.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, baby. This is good for Valentine's Day. Let's get it on. Oh, I know this song. Oh, damn. I'm wrong. I got to take Montel Jordan out of this. I know this song. Damn. You know this song? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get it on. Valentine's Day. Your flowers, your chocolate, and your stiffy. That's what you get. I feel like they've used this beat too a bunch. Al, are you a play music while you have sex guy?
I'm not a big play music. Yeah, for that, no.
Me neither. Don't like that. Distracting. I know some people love that. They'll put on Barry White or something. And he probably puts on Jethro Tull. Yeah, I don't know. People get into that. I can't get into that. Very distracting.
I mean, the interesting thing is you can go by decades with these one-hit wonders.
Oh, sure, of course.
It's what you have to do, I think.
But, like, the biggest ones ever are the ones I want to know, like the biggest hits. And Macarena's probably, like, that was huge. That was number one for a very long time. Remember that guy Gangnam Style?
Yes.
That was another one.
So you think Eddie DePlace Jethro Tull?
Can't you just see him walking in?
This is his walk-in song.
Yeah, right. Just naked and then takes his ponytail out and shakes his hair out. Okay. It's go time. Put down the yarn and pick this up. Oh, man.
It's go time.
Okay. One way ticket to Pound Town. If you could play. Oh, God.
Yeah. Don't do that.
If you could play music, Al, would it be like an R&B song, do you think?
Probably would have to be.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only thing that fits.
Yeah, like Genuine Pony. That would be the one. I think that's the one you'd have to put on. Ever hear that one? Yeah, this is when you get it on to.
This would distract me.
I don't know, man. You can get in
get
a groove with this one. Al takes his hotel robe off. He's dancing in the room. Whimsy's like, please.
After he has his cheese board.
Right. Oh, my God. After he takes his green beans out of his steamer.
That is seven.
Walks right in. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Mm.
What a visual. I mean, come on. This is... Yeah, ride my pony. See, this is what this is what's going on here. Oh, it's amazing.
Good for Al.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other like R&B ones. I got that. Maybe that Neo's got one. What's Neo? N-E-Yo. That's a. There's got to be a very popular Usher or Neo song that would be good for shtupping.
It's one called Sexy Love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Let's go. You love Babyface.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know this one. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. We really can't pull this off, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would just get laughed at. Ah! That guy can't waltz in a room playing Neo's Sexy Love, you know?
You see Jerry doing that, though.
No way. No, Jerry would play his death metal music and get himself fired up. Die. That's what he needs. Get himself going. Yeah. Well, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's on a Friday. You guys doing anything in there for Valentine's Day? Any dinners or things
just dinners,
like that?
You know, dinner.
Going out to dinner?
It's packed.
Yeah, of course.
It's always packed.
It's amateur hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
It's like the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Correct.
But it's one of those things, you know, you don't have a lot of time for yourselves. It gives you time for the couple. It gives you an excuse, really, to be like,
just
all right.
Peak a week earlier, a week later, and then it's just not packed.
Or make it tonight.
No, on a Thursday, on a weeknight? What are you, nuts? I can't be doing that. You know what you also get on Valentine's Day? Drives me crazy.
What's that?
Prefix.
Yeah, a lot of prefix.
I don't want a prefix. Let me order off the menu. Give me your prefix.
your Valentine's prefix. There's nothing worse.
Yeah, and you know what? There is nothing worse than a Valentine's prefix.
Isn't it like Restaurant Week around here somewhere?
There is no way they would make Restaurant Week the same week as Valentine's Day.
I want to say maybe it's next week.
Because then they'd be losing out, because Restaurant Week, there's great deals. You can't be putting deals on Valentine's Day. You're
prefixing your ass off for the restaurant.
Right, prefixing right through your nose.
Right.
Man. Yeah, these restaurants, man, with the prefix.
Yeah, I don't like the prefix.
You know, when else did he do the prefix? Is Mercadante still out there yapping? Dude, read the room. Get out of here. They don't want to talk to you anymore. Jesus.
Talking about Chitties.
I mean, my Lord. Of course. I told you he'd be the guy at Chitties.
Yeah.
He'd be right there. God. He's been hanging around for 15 minutes talking to you guys?
He linked in the poor guy.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he just came back in because he got the number off the caller ID, and then he called Chitty.
I mean, I warned Chitty of this. I mean, Chitty does have 10 locations, and he is in Chitty Field.
Totally.
But, you know, I still feel like it's a small business type of thing, you know? But, hey, if Chitty wants to spend some money.
How do you think that call went?
Yo. I heard you make sandwiches. It was on the radio. We can reach millions of men who love sandwiches. That's probably how it went. Something like that.
And if you want, I can get you to play golf with Gio.
No, I've already told Chris that we're never playing golf again together.
At least you're honest with him.
You know, maybe I'll give him one more chance. I'm a guy who loves a second chance. Hey, if I want John Gruden to be in the NFL again as a head coach, I can give Chris Mercadante one more chance at a golf course, right? Can I?
I guess you could.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just take him to a place that's more like, you know, his speed. I'm not going to take him to one of these really nice places. I'll take him, you know, to like
where you're not going to see any other celebs.
Right, or just if he does some sort of faux pas, it's not going to matter. You know,
everybody's smoking weed.
Yeah, right. Hitting balls off the green with their irons. Yeah, maybe I'll take him to Gullhaven.
Where is that? Where is that?
It's the middle of Long Island somewhere. It's like the place that everybody uses as the joke.
Oh, really? You know, like, I've never heard of it.
Gullhaven. You know Gull? You probably know Gullhaven. You've played Gullhaven. Don't even try.
Yeah. Gullhaven. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Gullhaven. Yeah, it's in central Iceland.
Really?
Yeah, Gullhaven. There it is. Beautiful place. You know what? They're open all year round, so I do like that. Good for them, you know, staying open. Maybe that's why people play it all the time.
Is it a county course?
No, it's not a county course. Bergen's the county course next to the poop plant.
Bergen
Never Point. Heard of it. Bergen Point.
Oh, Bergen Point, I've heard of.
Yeah. Bergen Point. That's what I'll take. I'll take you one of those two places, Merc. We'll either play at the course next to the poop plant, or we'll play Gullhaven, me and you. How's that sound? $1,000 match. We'll do 1,000 front, 1,000 back, 2,000 overall. Nassau, $1,000 presses. Be good for that? All right. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Me and Merc at Gullhaven. We'll get some Chitty's cheesesteaks so we can eat at the turn. Right after you get the munchies from that blunt that you smoked. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Maybe Gull Haven is a town of ice slip course. Maybe that's what it is because it says ice slip residents, $17 you can get out there.
All right, sounds like
it's got to be what it is, right?
I would think so, but I don't.
You don't know it. You grew up there, for God's sake.
I was at Timber Point, but I didn't really play golf when I was a kid. I didn't take up golf seriously until I was at the Bengals and Tuesday on our day off if I wanted to hang out with the guys. That's how I got into golf.
I mean, that is a deal there. Gull Haven, huh?
Yeah.
18 holes, $17. And if you're a non-Islip resident, $19.
You're an Islip resident, aren't you?
I am.
It's only a $2 difference.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's really good.
Usually it's double.
At least double.
Yeah. Do they call it Gull Haven because of the
seagulls? Probably. That's their logo is a seagull in front of a sunset.
Okay.
Gorgeous. Really beautiful.
See, if I saw that logo, I would think $117.
Right. And they call it Gull Haven Golf Club, and they got the seagull flapping in front of the sunset. You're like, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful place.
Are you excited for your new Bob Does Sports today?
Oh, with the spitting chiclets guys?
That's it.
Yeah, that's a great mashup. I am excited about that.
Even Al had a spitting chiclets reference this morning.
Really?
He did.
Damn.
I don't remember what it was, but he did reference that.
I never thought about that.
What was that about today? It was about how Patrick Mahomes was about to become the first guy ever to do a three-peat, the greatest GOAT, and went to getting his ass kicked, and now his father's fighting John Rocker.
That's it, right. Yeah, that is true. Pretty bad. I mean, Patrick Mahomes himself, Junior, has got to be like, "What, Dad, what are you doing? What do you need, man? Can I give it to you as opposed to you doing this and fighting John Rocker? For God's sakes, you embarrass me enough." But yes,
Do you think that Patrick Mahomes would show up at the fight?
No. I think he's totally embarrassed by this.
You don't think he'd be in the corner?
No, I don't think so. He hates Barstool Sports, by the way.
Who does? Patrick Mahomes?
The quarterback, yes. Mm.
Oh, why?
Because I ripped his wife a few times.
Oh.
Doesn't like that. So I don't think he's going to show up there. But a couple other collabs. Bryson did his first break 50 of the year. I'm not going to spoil that, but it comes down to the end. Let's just put it that way. And then also you had with the Foreplay podcast, our buddies Trent and Frankie, we played with, debuted Beef for 18 holes.
Did you see that? Did you watch that?
Of course I watched it.
Yep.
It was some of the worst golf I'd ever seen on television. These guys did not play well at all.
And how is Beef's personality?
He's a little dry. He's a little dry. He needs to get there. But, I mean, the visual of him is remarkable.
It's a big boy.
And one of the guys is getting ready to putt just started cracking up laughing because Beef was standing right behind him. It was like an eclipse.
I would suggest Frankie and Trent play golf with the new GM of the Enflaw team out there on Long Island.
Oh. Well, that'd be a great idea for Peter Schwartz.
That would be great. It would be awesome.
Peter Schwartz can't play golf, can he?
You sure?
No, his sons are into it, but he can't. He can't do it. Can't swing it.
I think that would be a great.
It would be a great way to promote Enflaw. That's for sure.
And Peter Schwartz.
Yes, of course.
But he's got a lot. He's a lot of physical issues, doesn't he, Peter? With the hips and the back.
Yeah, he does.
I think he does.
He had a hip replaced, but he broke his hip on the beach playing football with his kids.
He did.
Yes.
When did he do that?
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Really, I didn't know.
He was limping around here. It took him. The rehab was a long time.
That's when he, during the rehab of that, changed his Twitter avatar to a Dennis Byrd jersey to inspire him. True story.
I do remember that.
Was that a woof from you, Boober? Is that what I got?
Yeah, you got a woof.
All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, seriously. Just get you through the day.
The Knicks blew a late lead. They wound up beating the Hawks in overtime, 149-148. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns combined
for... Where are you going?
Combined for 80 points.
Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving because of the Dennis Byrd thing. I was like, what the hell?
He's gone. Here is Tom Thibodeau. Just loves this group that he reached the All-Star break 36-18.
I tell him all the time, like, I'm fortunate to be coaching them. So, you enjoy the effort they put forth. They're They're together. They're committed. They're all sacrificing something for the team. Each one of them is giving something of themselves to make the team better.
And it certainly is working. And we mentioned the record. Here is Brunson in terms of where they're at.
I mean, we've done good up to this far. We have a long way to go. I'm excited to get down the stretch, man. It's going to be fun.
That was courtesy of MSG. He did have the go-ahead hoop late. Karl Anthony Towns, 44 points, 10 rebounds, and Precious Achiuwa, Boomer's guy, 26 points, 12 of 16 shooting. All-Star weekend. The Knicks will play Chicago next Thursday. Meantime, the Nets all of a sudden seem like a winning team. Kind of goofy. They've won 6 of 7. They beat the Sixers 196. 18 for Trenton Wofford. He was on the Fan post game with Carino and Capstraw. How have you done this of late?
Defense. I think, you know, we're bringing a lot of energy on this side of the ball. And, you know, I think Nick and Dayron playing at a high level behind the ankles of the defense. So, you know, it's going good right now. We just got to keep it going after this break.
That's now 20 and 34 at the break. As, again, they've won 6 of 7. This report brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
This is the
nobody.
Kind of gift I like.
Yes, yeah, so you've got, why don't you tell the audience what you're wearing?
Yeah, I got the Four Nations USA hockey jersey on. My friends over at Fanatics sent it over this morning. So look at this. Look how good this looks.
You look great.
Yeah, USA,
oh, yes, baby.
That is, that
I might not
great.
Take this off. I may just leave this on the rest of my life. I might sleep in it, walk around in it.
Nice. Why
go
not?
Go to weddings in it, go to parties in it.
Absolutely.
It looks
do
great,
game
it?
Time in it. Do,
yes.
All that great stuff.
Yeah, why not?
By the way, just a correction, Jerry, when you said it is usually double $17.
Yeah.
It's only a 9-hole course, the Skullhaven, so that's why.
But even so, all right, even still, though, usually for a county course out of county, they charge a little more than $2 of a premium.
No, they do. But I was like, oh, 18 holes, $17. You're like, oh, it's usually double that. Well, it's because it's half the holes.
So even still
so
a bargain.
So where is it, over by Duck Stadium?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe by the court building over there somewhere.
The big white Alphonse D'Amato court
yeah, that
building that looks
ugly.
Great on Long Island.
Oh, so ugly. You know what? I use it as a landmark.
A reference point when you're out in the Great South Bay.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only, but it, what a ugly piece of crap structure that is.
Yeah, somebody decided to build a memento, I guess a memorial.
A memorial
to Alphonse D'Amato.
That's what that is?
Yes, the Alphonse D'Amato court building, isn't it?
I didn't know that. You're probably right. I didn't know that.
It is.
Do it as
it just means that the guy that's bringing home the bacon. It's bringing home the pork right there, baby.
Well, anyway, it's an ugly structure.
They could put the Schumer one next to it.
And you don't want to be in that building.
No, you don't. You don't want to be anywhere near that building.
You don't want to be in here in that building. Something went wildly wrong, unless you're a lawyer or a judge. Sorry, Jerry.
It's all right. St. John's in the top 10. They wound up losing at Villanova.
St. John's up by 170-170. Here's Poplar down the middle. Goes baseline. Perkins for three on the right. Good. Tyler Perkins hits the big-time shot. And Villanova takes the lead 73-71.
And that was the final of St. John's.
We do sex drive.
Couldn't answer the other way.
So good.
Oh, man. Perkins had 12 on the night. Wooger Poplar had 22. John Minko on St. John's Learfield Radio. One from Rick Pitino. So what happened?
They made a lot of terrific shots with 1 second on it. But twice we didn't block out, and it cost us the game. And that's been a weakness of ours. But great game. Guys played their asses off. This is the best, one of the best shooting teams in the country.
And they proved it last night.
Yeah, how are we doing?
Okay, fantastic. St. John's now 21-4 as they had their 10-game winning streak come to an end. Sets up a big game with Creighton now on Sunday. And Rutgers lost to Iowa 84-73. All right, we get to some other stuff here, if I can find it, because this damn system walked away. All right, here we go. This is an interesting one from David Stearns from yesterday, and then we'll move on. In terms of Alonzo, which became official yesterday, did you think he was pressing? I think we all had that assumption, or at least felt that way. Well, the GM says no.
I never got the sense that contractual pressures were impacting him last year. Certainly, this is a player who has repeatedly proven in big moments he can play under pressure.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like it last year.
So would you fight that voice?
Yes.
Oh, yes, 100%. Yeah, blindfolded. He was not under any contractual pressure. He just sucked. That's why we offered him what we offered him.
I don't listen to sports radio.
That's basically what he said. I like David Stearns. I'm not one of these Mets fans that doesn't like him. I really like him. I think he's doing a good job, but he's definitely, you know, he's got the dork status going on, and that's fine as long as he
leads us to a championship. I mean, Theo Epstein was like a major dork, and he brought two franchises to the promised land that hadn't been there in 100 years.
You thought major dork with Theo Epstein?
In the beginning, yeah, but then he got the swagger when he started winning the championship.
Does he go to, does he go to Dorkoville
for vacation? Yeah, Dweebtown.
Dweebtown.
Okay.
Here's Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole. So he opted back in after opting out, so he's back and super motivated to get it right now. And go out there and win the championship.
Walked away from the season with a bitter taste in our mouths and, you know, just a real terrible feeling. And, you know, as a competitor, you don't enjoy those situations, but, you know, every time you step on the field, it makes you tougher. It's another log on your fire that inspires you to, you know, put the work in.
Okay.
I hope he covers first base this year.
Yes, that in a big spot.
Yeah, you gotta work on the fundamentals.
So I gotta do the PFPs.
Yes.
It just shows you that delivery is such an important part of speech because Gerrit Cole goes,
that's another log on the fire.
You know, we don't even think about it. If that were Mike Tomlin at his press conference, we're going to throw another log on the fire. We'd be like, oh, yeah, Tomlinism, that's great. Throwing logs on the fire, we'd never forget about it. With Gerrit Cole,
comes out a little
sounds like
different.
Patrick Mahomes.
speaking of being motivated, I think we've heard this before, but it's just funny when Howard Stern's asking the question to Saquon Barkley about what an unbelievable season he had. And obviously, you know, the Giants not re-signing him.
Don't you think in a way it was like you flipping the bird to the Giants? It's a healthy chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, I think you always play with a chip on your shoulder, right? And I think you have to find different motivations, whether you're training, whether you're on that football field.
And so that's what he says. But then he also goes on to say it's way too long to play the whole thing. He also appreciated the way they made the decision and thanked him for how professional it was. And so they just moved on, and that be that. Now he's a Super Bowl champion. Travis Kelce has been, not this year. This was on his New Heights podcast. What will he do going forward?
I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
And he says, kind of tough.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is he going to play or he's not going to play?
He's not telling us. He's not sure yet. What he is sure of is Father Time is starting to catch up with him. Is essentially what he's saying.
Oh, well, yeah.
As you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man, those are all extremely hard things to. It's just a tough reality.
Now, is it me or were the passes not good?
They were not good to him.
Like it wasn't like he got
hit behind him twice,
right?
And a couple times he was open and Patrick didn't throw it to him. But Patrick just didn't have a great game. He was off and nervous. And when I say nervous, he was feeling the rush. You know, because the rush was, you know, displacing the offensive line as the game wore on. But I would just, you know, he could still play. The question is how much money will they pay him? And he's, you know, he may start a game, but he's not going to play 30 plays. He'll probably play 15 to 20 plays. And, understood. You know, there's a place for him because he's so smart. And the Chiefs will still be right in the mix next year.
He'll play one more year. You're not going out like that. It'd be better to go back next year and have an 8-9 season and not make the playoffs than have that be your last game.
You know, go out like that. He went out in the Super Bowl, and they've been nothing.
They got their brains beat in when they were a favorite going for a three-peat. I'm telling you, that after the success that you have had, for that to be your last game, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, I would just think he's coming back just simply because the money will be too good. It'll probably be a minimum of $10 to $15 million. And that would be like them saying thank you to him for being the player that he had become as a Chief and basically just limit his playing time so when they do get to the playoffs next year, he'll be ready to rock and roll again.
And you're ready to rock and roll with your Team USA jersey tonight.
Yes.
The U.S. plays Finland in the Four Nations opener. The second game. The opener last night was Canada beating Sweden 4-3 in overtime. Mitch Marner with the game winner, so that is off and running. All right, time now for Moment of the Day. I suggest everybody go back and listen to the 9 o'clock segment on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app. I didn't have time to turn it around. So option two was Al's retirement coming up a couple of hours ago.
Do you think that when you do retire and you readjust Whimsy's schedule, because that's what's going to happen.
Oh, she'll be dead by then.
You hope.
He's clearly thought about this.
Holy. Holy hell.
I'm just saying. She's a 9 now.
Right.
4 years, 5 years. It's going to be close.
I mean, you take very good care of her.
I do, yeah.
She feels loved and safe.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to last longer than that.
You don't say, Eddie?
Yeah, I just hope Guinness is involved somehow with this.
What's the average life expectancy for a retired racing
hound? Not that I've Googled this, but 10 years to 10 to 14 years, I believe.
Yeah, 10 to 14 years, that's right.
Okay.
And how old is she now?
9.
She'll be 9. She'll be 9 very soon.
I bet you have at least 2 years with her if you do retire at 59. If you don't get fired before that.
Right.
That would be his luck, that he gets a dog that actually outlives the expectancy.
CBS Sunday morning, Steve Hartman will show up at his house. It's amazing. The oldest greyhound to ever live. 22 years old. 22-year-old Whimsy.
She's running around the yard, yeah. not slowing down at all.
There you go. Cold moment of the day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You will not even look at the Four Nations hockey tournament tonight.
No.
Really at all?
No. Wow. Not in one iota, no.
Look, for all those hockey fans out there, I've tell you, the last game last night was amazing. It was an amazing game. And tonight will be an amazing game, most likely, too. Although I don't think Finland is as good as the other three teams in this thing. But
I mean,
you never know,
you
still
exactly?
got to play. So basically, they don't have an all-star weekend. This is essentially their all-star weekend. And a lot of people were panning it, saying, the players aren't going to play. They aren't going to play hard. And, you know, nothing can be further from the truth. Once you put on a jersey that has your country's colors and flag on it and everything else, you're going to play your ass off for it because, you know, your home country wants you to win. And that was kind of what they got last night. And they were talking about it last night because in Sweden, I think it was 2:30 in the morning it was being shown because of the time difference, of course. So, you know, and then you got, you know, America and Finland tonight, and then you'll have America and Canada on Saturday, I believe.
Where are these games being played?
Boston and Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah. Last night was in Montreal, and it was great. It was great to see. You know, Wayne Gretzky was working the broadcast, so he was down in Atlanta, I guess, where they do the TNT broadcast.
Yeah.
But Mario Lemieux came out last night, and the Montreal crowd went crazy.
Well, of course. Les Magnifiques.
Yeah, it was amazing just to watch him because, you know, you don't really see him or hear from him much.
Well, especially now that he's not involved with the Penguins anymore, and it's unfortunate there was a falling out there. But when I was there, he was part owner with Ron Burkle, and he was one of those guys that if you passed him in a hallway, it was as if he wasn't even walking on the ground. It was like he was levitating past you. He's one of those aura guys that is undeniable, absolutely undeniable.
He had back issues. He had cancer issues, right?
Yeah.
And came through most of
Hodgkin's,
if not all of it.
Which one's the good Hodgkin's? Remember that?
The non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That was the Larry David thing.
Yes.
Where he's like, and the doctors be like, well, I wouldn't call it a good Hodgkin's. I mean, it's a better Hodgkin's, but it's not a good Hodgkin's.
It's a curable Hodgkin's.
Right. Yes. So it's not, wasn't my take.
I was quoting a show, which I rarely do.
Right. I know CeeLo does the movie quotes all the time. When you said Hodgkin's, I thought good Hodgkin's, bad Hodgkin's.
But watching him come out last night and the reaction to him, it's like you know. Obviously, you're not a hockey guy. You guys are not hockey guys. I am. I don't really ever see him much. Not doing much anymore. But then when he showed up last night, the place exploded.
Yeah. I was exposed to him a ton when I was there. By the way,
did you ever interview him?
No, unfortunately not. He honestly, I think he did one radio interview in the 5 years I was there.
That's what I'm saying. Like he just never did.
And he was the owner of the team. He was a part owner of the team.
You would think he would, you know, publicize the team or promote the team, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't need much promotion at that point. I mean, they were just on top of the world, and they had everybody in their prime. You know, and it's actually on Saturday will be the 15th anniversary of that station launch that I was a part of, that first broadcast.
You going back?
No, for the year 15 party, no, I'm not going back. But
it's like a reunion.
It is a reunion, but I'm not going back there.
Are they having a party?
I think they are, yeah.
And you, the morning show guy, is not going back?
Well, I was there for 5 years. I've been on the air for 15 years now.
So yeah, but you got it off the ground. Like, you know how we often talk about how Susan got it off the ground here for us?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go
Greg Gumbel, Susan. Yeah, and
I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh in February. I'm just okay. I'm not doing that. But you'd be proud, speaking of hockey, my first guest ever.
Your first guest ever?
Yeah. And I thought I was
Chris
like...
Chris Letang.
No. I was flexing my muscles because I said, hey, this is a hockey town. I'm coming from New York. I got a contact here. I'm going to put this guy on my first night show.
Mark Messier.
No, why would they want to hear from him? No.
Well, because he's one of the great guys of all time. What are you talking about?
Not in Pittsburgh. They don't like him in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, I didn't like really this guy either, but I figured I'd be like, hey, I come right out of the gate and be like, look at this. Look who I got. And then his phone crapped out like 2 minutes into the interview, and I never got him back.
What team was he known for?
Not known for a team, actually. It was Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Oh, okay.
That was my first, because I had worked on the Gary Bettman show.
On the NHL Network?
I did, and I had the contact still.
You know, I was a guest on that NHL Network show with Gary Bettman, and I was at one of Sydney's soccer games, I think down at Seaford.
Mm.
And I'm doing the interview as the game's going on. And Sydney got hurt right in the middle of the game.
I remember you telling me that story, yeah.
Yeah, and I had to go down on the field and pick her up and get her off the field. And then I had to rush her to urgent care to get an x-ray that was negative. And I told her, you know, suck it up. You don't have a
broken
leg.
Right, I'm doing an interview here, for God's sakes. So we're going to make this about you?
Then I had to call back on the way to urgent care with Sydney in the back seat, like moaning, oh, my ankle, Mike. I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
That's probably the greatest moment in that Gary Pittman show's history.
Probably. You know,
the entertainment of that whole thing.
Yeah, I was. Oof.
Yeah, that was. I used to do it from the NHL store. We used to go up.
Exactly. So, yeah. But, you know, the fact that he was a commissioner doing that, I thought was a great thing.
Yeah. I mean,
because
it was.
Commissioners don't do things like that.
Very pre-produced, though. And there was many people around that were really worried about the questions that were coming through. I was just like, bleh. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I got Monzo to do it.
Yeah, because the commissioners don't want to expose themselves to fans who have problems with some of the decisions that they make, whether it be PSLs or season tickets or, you know, political money and everything else that's going on in the world of sports.
I was also producing the show NHL Live. Remember that show? It was with E.J. Raddick and Don LaGreca?
Of course, yes.
So Eddie Olczyk used to come on, and his answers were so long. And Don used to do this thing where he would ask a question, he would go down the stairs of the NHL store, walk out the side door, walk around to the front, back into the store, and up the stairs, and sit back down before Eddie Olczyk finished his question. It was tremendous. And we used to bet on it. It was great. I bet you $10 you could do it. And he'd run down his feet like, what the hell is going on? Come right back up. He'd sit back down in the chair. We had a good time.
So could you imagine if you had CeeLo asking Eddie Olczyk questions?
Oh, my God. We'd all die before the end of that conversation. Whimsy included.